Welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Ellison with the Digital Education Podcast. And if you've been following, we've been asking a series of questions about what's next. We're in the midst of this shutdown. And, you know, the question about what's coming after we kind of get back to normal and whatever that new normal is. And so I've been asking friends, leaders in education, experts in education, but people who just care about our schools, about our students, about learning. And so today I'm with Lee Lundy, and Lee became a friend first and foremost through Twitter, right? So a little bit of a Twitter addict like me, but then also knows a lot of my friends in Little Rock, Arkansas, because she was a teacher there and other places in the past, and now lives in San Jose, is a mom of high schoolers, junior hires. So we love, you know, kind of having the conversations about education, about school, but then also just about managing this time. But Lee, you've had all kinds of experiences. You've lived in different parts of the United States. Like, when you think about what's coming after this, what do you see as a teacher, as an educator, but also as a parent?
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing to look at. Our country is, at least as of today, it's so divided on who opens up when and who's on lockdown still. And so from colleges all the way down to schools, that's going to look so different. And I think as both educators and parents, that's how that plays out is going to be really unique to each school setting. I think public schools have their own challenges because obviously you've got such a range of socioeconomic in all the public schools. You've got from the lowest to low to the highest to the high, depending on where that school is located. So how do you maintain Zoom and online classroom with the children and the families who are unable to have that at home? Then you have the families who potentially have parents who both work. Well, how are you going to do that long term? You can't just leave little bitty elementary kids at home. So, and expect them to do online classes when your state has reopened and you have to go back to work, but your kids aren't in school perhaps. It's just all going to be a really unique thing to watch unfold. And those challenges I think will need to be addressed, like I mentioned, individually per school. Private schools typically seem to be doing all Zoom and assuming their families have online access. But again, how that continues long-term, if it needs to, is gonna be impactful to each home, because you've got everything from kids who can do it and kids who can't without parental help. So that is a long-term thing is interesting. I think right now, I read something recently that called right now crisis schooling, not really homeschooling, because in this moment, nobody chose this. So those parents and families who choose to homeschool, this is really not that for the parents who are sort of forced into this setting where they're, and then you have the families who are maintaining jobs at home and trying to help their kids with school, especially elementary families or families with elementary children. That's a big task. So anyway,
when you look at it from a parent side of things, you know, right now you're in that parent chair, right? And you got four kids at home, junior high school, trying to do this, and you're trying to make sure that they're on the right path and that they're going forward. Like, what's something that you would encourage people, like, at the moment, right now in the moment, just to stop doing and stop worrying about?
Yeah, so I think for us, that's a great question. I think right now, stop worrying, period. It's just a matter of getting through. And even in our situation, one of our middle school children was a little bit overwhelmed last week and just kind of had a lot of stuff due and was taking, you know, a lot of time all day. And there were three different classes that had three different projects in it. I mean, yeah. Three classes had assigned three outside of regular work projects. So one of those classes was not a core class. And I just finally said, hey, buddy, we're going to let that go. We just are. I hope you don't get an F. The plan is that you will finish this before the end of the year. right now, we got to figure out your core classes. We've got to finish the book report. We've got to finish the whatever the other one was in science. And so I think there's some of that that as parents, that's okay. Like the teachers, they'll bend. And if they don't, that's okay too. But you as a parent are in charge of their education in your home. And like I said a minute ago, it kind of is crisis time. It's just surviving. It's how can we do the best that we can possibly do with what we have, with the time that we have. And most parents aren't like me being at home and at the moment not having to be working and happen to be an educator. Most moms don't have that luxury. And so, not that that's a luxury necessarily, but I feel for those parents who just feel they get these assignments, and I'm in contact with a lot of moms who are struggling with this very thing. They have all these assignments. They're clueless how to do it. The classes are only meeting 1 to 3 times a week, and they're feeling like they've got to do this to perfection. And I would just say, as I tell my friends, don't. Just do what you can do. Let your child do what your child can do, and have them email the teacher and say, this is where we got, or I don't understand this, or my iPad won't connect to this printer, or whatever your issue is, just so that they know you're trying and this is where it ended.
So let me ask you one last question, because I think that's perfect, because, and you and I've had these conversations where it is like, listen, like, I don't know if that you feel more pressure because you have been a teacher to be able to say, hey, I can do this. but if you were, you know, if you're looking in the fall, right, and let's say we go back to some sort of normalcy in the classroom and all those, what would you do different if you were back in a classroom in a fall? What's like maybe one encouragement or one piece of advice that says, you know what, this is something I would start doing, or this is something I would stop doing if I were back in the classroom?
Wow, that's a good question. I think one thing that comes to mind, and this is probably part of my wiring, and as it would play out in a classroom setting, but my natural bent initially in the fall, if we're back to normal and I was in a classroom, is where have my kids been? What was that time like for them? What age do I have, for one, and how are they processing what just happened, or maybe what is continuing to happen wherever we are in the fall? Are they afraid? Do they understand? Because, you know, it's new for us too. Like adults, this whole virus thing and shutdown and all that. I think I'd want to address as best I could where they've been, where their minds are, where their hearts are, and allow time towards, I guess, just to really reacclimate back into a classroom setting, as opposed to what would be a more normal bent, to be in panic mode of everything lost in the spring and trying to rush and catch them all up. I think I would really want to put the brakes on that. And I think there's so many different options. It'll be interesting to see what the fall looks like. But if it was back to the regular classroom and they're with me in class all day, that would be a key part. Just to get to know them, to know where they are. I think some of them, you know, so many kids are in unstable homes right now, and I think school was a break for them. And that's super heavy on my heart, especially if this doesn't let up. But those kids that are super afraid and their parents were frustrated and there was a lot of anger and tension in the home because they didn't know how to manage this. And they didn't, you know, who are those people in my class? What are their needs and how do I meet them there? Because really nothing's going to happen educationally. Skills aren't going to be taught. Skills aren't going to really be wanted. They're not going to want to learn them, et cetera, if those basic fears and frustrations and things lost aren't acknowledged, at least, much less dealt with. So I'm not pretending I would deal with them all, but just to be a safe place for those kids and establish just some, I don't know, normalcy again, and a consistency and a consistent pattern and schedule and expectations, more on a slow slope up as opposed to, you know, me reacting out of fear to bring them up to speed.
Yeah, Lee, I really appreciate your thoughts and wisdom. And that is something probably, I think that's something that educators, teachers, I mean, that's incredible wisdom, because that's what I'm hearing the most right now. It's like, okay, we know that a bunch of kids are going to be behind, and the tension is we got to get everybody on track and up to pace and, you know, speed them up and all that kind of stuff. But it is like the human side of things the learning doesn't happen until the human heart and the mentality and just the space is created to heal and to kind of get back to some sort of consistency and stability.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think the stability is kind of been a word that has been in my head for a couple of weeks, just how like our home is stable, but the kids' schedules are so unstable right now. And that's kind of my thing, that how do I, okay, every day we're going to try to get up around this time. And what are your classes today? And all four of them have different times. And then Kate's in college and she's got her own thing going. And so coming back to a sense of putting more stability and consistency back in their lives in a loving way, kind way. I don't know. Anyway, that comes to mind a lot.
So, Lee. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Eric. Thanks so much for having me.